Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, it's the 10th of January 2014, the first podcast of the new year. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you had a great holiday season, great Christmas and great New Year celebrations. And here we go. Everything's always exciting, isn't it, at the start of a new year, especially for photographers. You know, we've got the kind of looking back at what we've done in the past year, assessing how we've done, could we have done better, maybe enjoying the photographs we've taken, and then we can make plans on the things we might want to do differently this year, different places we want to do, new techniques we want to try, or in my case, new gear I want to play with as well, because I was lucky enough at Christmas, well, just after Christmas actually, to receive a new camera. Now, regular listeners to the podcast or watchers on the YouTube channel, excuse me, I'll just have a quick coffee, will know that for the past several years I've been using as my main camera the trusty Canon 350D, or Rebel XT as it is known in America. A fantastic little camera, and it's really done me proud, taken some really beautiful images, but unfortunately it's kind of getting a little bit long in the tooth, not in terms of image quality. It takes beautiful photographs, and I'll talk about something about that in a second as well, but things like the viewfinder display, when you put the camera up to your eye and look through the viewfinder, the little display that you can normally see that tells you the shutter speed, the aperture, and the ISO, that sort of thing, had stopped working. So in order to see what settings my camera, I had put into the camera, I had to look on the back of the camera, which wasn't quite good. The autofocus sometimes is a little bit temperamental, but overall it was a great camera. But I kind of had the itch for the past year to get a new one, and I've been eyeballing Amazon and the second hand websites, eBay, Gumtree, MVP Photographic, London Camera Exchange, all those sorts of things, looking for the sort of camera I wanted. And I kind of decided on, well, I was flipping backwards between second hand models of the Canon 550D or the 600D or maybe even a 60D. And I kind of decided on the 600D or the 60D because when I was doing some night photography earlier on in the year, I remember I talked about trying to take photographs of asteroid trails, meteor trails as they're coming through. One of the big problems I had with the 350D was it doesn't have live view, so you have to look through the viewfinder, and at night that's quite a challenge to actually see if anything's going on. So I wanted live view so I could look at the back of the camera to aid focusing, if anything, as well. But the other thing that really I thought would be fantastic would be having the swivel screen that cameras like the 600D and the 60D have. So I kind of decided on one of those two, and I'd made the decision that if the 600D new body, that is by itself on Amazon, went below about £320, I would pull the trigger, you know, and I would buy one. I've been lucky enough to have a new laptop recently, you know, a couple of months ago, and that's my first new computer in a long, long time, many, many, many years. But I thought, you know, the 600D is coming to the end of its retail life as a new camera. I mean, I think they're up to the 700D in the consumer DSLRs on the Canon side. I thought, well, you know, if it gets below about £320, I'll pull the trigger, and, you know, and I'll buy it. Because obviously if you buy a new one, you get the year's guarantee, don't you? And, you know, that sort of peace of mind. And bearing in mind that second-hand 600D bodies in the UK were going for between sort of £250 and £280 anyway. So I thought, well, for another sort of £50-60, you might as well buy a new one and get the peace of mind of year's guarantee. So I kind of set my mind on that. And then I was looking at the 60D, and then in the run-up to Christmas, of course, Amazon do their daily deals, don't they? So I was looking at them, and at one point they had the 60D with a kit lens for £580, which is a bit of a bargain, to be honest. That really is cheap for a new one. And the 60D, what it has over the 600D is it has a tougher body, better weather sealing, and faster frames per second, and more cross-point autofocus things. But I came close to pulling the trigger a few times on that, but I thought £580, yeah, that is an awful lot of money, especially when you've got to add on things like a spare battery and memory cards and things. I thought, no, I can't. I could buy a car for that much money. So I kind of set in my heart that I wasn't going to get one. And in fact, one of my goals, which I'll talk about in a little bit later in the podcast, is about losing weight for 2014. I thought so, and I've always kind of been saying that my prize for losing a lot of weight would be to buy a new camera. But then, I think it was the day before Christmas Eve, probably, or the day before, it might have been the 22nd or 23rd, I was looking on Amazon.co.uk at the 600D with the kit lens, and it was going for about £409. And I went to a price comparison site, and I was putting in, you know, Canon 600D, Canon 60D, as you do. And and one of the things I like to add, the reason why I'm obviously sticking with Canon, because I've got a few Canon lenses, so I've kind of bought into the system. I've got nothing against Nikon or Sony or anything like that. I was kind of bought into the Canon lenses. And I went on one site, and they said, oh, by the way, one of the best deals at the moment is Amazon with the Canon 600D, because you get a free lens with it. And I thought, well, yeah, you get the 1855, but now somebody said, no, you get a free 40mm f2.8 lens. So I thought, ooh, what? That sounds pretty good. Because the 40mm is a new prime lens that Canon released last year. And it's ultra-compact. It's a pancake lens. And it has this new type of motion, which means that it focuses very, very quietly. So that's great if you're doing video. And it goes between about £100 and £140 if you do buy one new. I said, well, that sounds like quite a good deal. So I went over to Amazon, and lo and behold, and I hadn't noticed it before, in the listing for the Canon 600D kit, so you get the 600D and the 18-55 IS lens on it, there was a little kind of bit on it that said there's a promotion on this up to Christmas Eve, where if you buy it, you get a free Canon 40mm f2.8. So I thought, well, that sounds like a really good bargain, because if the camera's £409 and you get the 18-55 IS lens, you know, which I've already got, but, you know, it's always good to have a spare lens, isn't it? £309. And then if you think this lens normally, even if it was only £100 to buy, that suddenly makes the body by itself, well, the body with the lens, the 18-55, £309. Canon are currently doing, or were currently doing, a cashback promotion as well, where you got £30 cashback. So we're now under £300. Plus, Amazon had sent me a £10 gift voucher to spend on whatever I liked, as long as I spent it before Christmas Eve. So if I decided to sell the 18-55 and the 40mm 2.8, I could have the body, a brand new body with a year's guarantee, for about £240. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cheap. So I thought, sod it, I'm gonna buy it. So I put it in my basket, all the stuff, like the camera, the lens, which, you know, became free, and a 32GB SD memory card. And then the next day, so I think Suzanne was going to work, and I was like, okay, just having a look at Amazon. She said, what have you got there? I said, well, there's this amazing deal on the Canon 600D. So, and she said, is that the camera you're looking for? I says, yeah, but I'm not sure. And she said, well, no, if it's such a good deal, why don't you just buy it? So I thought, right, sod it, I will. And I did. It's a Christmas present from Susanna and Oliver. And it arrived a couple of days after Christmas. And, yeah, here it is. I've got it in my hands. Obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the camera. If you're not, you just listen to this podcast on your iPod or MP3 player. You'll have to take my word for it. But it's the beauty that is my new Canon 600D. Now, it's still just a camera. And, in fact, after I got the 600D and kind of, in inverted commas, retired the 350D, what I'd done is, you might have seen them on my Flickr photo stream, I quite like taking macro photographs of flowers. And I've done some quite nice ones, I think, almost soft focus, very small depth of field focus for shots of flowers, using the 350D and the ring light that I was reviewing for somebody. And I submitted them, and I haven't done this for ages, but I submitted them to iStock Photo to add to my iStock Photo portfolio, which is about 10 photographs, not many, because I can't normally be bothered to do it. And lo and behold, after I got the 600D, I only submitted two photographs. These two photographs came back as being accepted, as being into the iStock Photo, or the collection of photos where then people can license them and buy them. And if you've ever tried to get into iStock Photo and submit your images, it can be quite a challenge. They can be very picky about the photographs they accept, technically, as well as artistically. And so it kind of goes to prove that even after, I think I've had it 5 years, I think, the 350D, it was still good enough to produce images that would be accepted by the world's leading micro stock photography site. You know, so it's still, quality wise, there's nothing wrong with the 350D at all. The only issues with my camera was that it wasn't doing quite as well as it wanted to, and there was a few features that I was looking for in a camera, which, you know, I've got in the 350D, in the 600D, sorry, which is the Rebel T3i in America. It's got the, let me just turn it on, it's got the swivel out, pop out screen, which is fantastic, which means that you can compose your photographs, all sorts of images. Now, the live view isn't the best thing in the world, it's very, very slow, so it's best for static subjects. But, you know, for doing macro or any sort of funny angle types of photographs, this screen is going to be a boon, and I'm looking forward to using it. It's got a 18 megapixels, so I can crop very well. The ISO goes up to 6400, and I've already done an ISO test over on the rublanphoto.com website. Excuse me, just taking a drink. And the ISO performance is very, very good indeed. It also has something that is brilliant, I think, which I didn't have on the 350D. You may well have on your cameras, but it's kind of, it's transforming the way I shoot, really, is auto ISO. Which is where you can tell the camera, look, you choose the ISO. And what it does is, I'll be running in aperture priority mode. Say, you know, and so I set the camera up for aperture priority mode, F8, because I'm going out just doing some general shooting and I want nice sharp photos with lots of depth of field. But when I've been shooting with the 350D, I've really got to keep an eye on that shutter speed and that ISO, because if I'm shooting in shadow or the clouds go over the sun or something and I'm shooting ISO 100, all of a sudden the shutter speed can start to go quite slow, you know, a 60th, a 30th, a 25th, down to kind of speeds where when I'm hand-holding, even with the IS lens, I could be getting camera blur or subject blur. But with the auto ISO, the camera basically makes a quick calculation based on your focal length. Excuse me. And if your shutter speed is going below 1 over twice your focal length for Canon or something like that. So if it notices the fact you're shooting at F8, you're shooting in shadows, and your shutter speed would generally be, with ISO 100, will be, say, a 25th of a second. It will then go, wait a minute, this is a little bit slow. Let's put it up to like 1/100th of a second so you don't get camera shake. And so far, it seemed to work very, very well indeed. It means you don't have to worry about ISO. obviously there's certain situations where you don't want the camera to start jacking up the ISO to like 800, 1600, 3200 because you're worried a little bit about noise. Say for example you're on a tripod or you deliberately want to introduce subject blur, say blurred movement on trees or vehicles and stuff like that. But otherwise it's a real good capture. The camera's really looking after you to be able to do that, so I've enjoyed that. So I love that. I love the feel of the camera. It's a little bit chunkier than the 350D, so it's a little bit bigger, not much, but just a little bit bigger, and it feels better in your hand. There's a lot more buttons to deal with, which has taken me a little bit getting used to, but I've gone through the manual a few times and read lots of stuff online. And overall, is there anything about the only thing that I don't like about it is I don't like the fact that when you're in aperture priority mode, for example, on the command dial, in order to get to the movie mode, you've got to click an awful long way to go all the way around to the movie mode, where I think they should have put the movie mode at the top of just above manual, I think, or something like that. The high definition video is amazing. Being able to shoot at 1080p. And look at it, it's so crisp and so clear, even when you downsample it, you know, to a smaller size. And I'm looking forward to doing more video, maybe even sort of the idea of the long photograph as well, which is an idea that was kind of floated on Flickr and never really went down very well with people, but the idea that when you're in front of a scene, not only can you take a beautiful photograph, but why don't you take a nice, like, a short piece of video, maybe a 30-second video of a scene, that perchance could even loop, and that can look very well, very good indeed. And generally, just going out and enjoying playing with the camera. And you know, one of the problems with the 350D I had was if you crop too much, your file size became too small. But with 18 megapixels to play with, that isn't really going to be happening. So there we go, the 600D. Expect to see an awful lot of content on RobnonPhoto.com and the YouTube channel, and probably in the podcast over on the following few months about it, because I'm very excited to actually have a new camera that lots of people have. And yeah, now I haven't had a chance to play around with the 40mm f2.8 lens very much at all. I've taken a video with it, I've done a little bit of shooting, I'm deliberately staying away from it until I really get my hands and my brain used to using the 600D. I've already had an incident when I was out taking some photographs and hadn't noticed, despite I was using my wife checklist, that my exposure compensation was set to one step underexpose, which led to some little dark images. So I'm just getting used to the camera, getting used to how it feels in my hand, and when I'm happier with that, then I'll start experimenting with other lenses and things like that. As I said, I've already done, excuse me, just take another drink, a noise test comparison, which you can see over on robnonphoto.com. I'll put the links to that in the show notes, comparing the levels of noise in the 350D and my new 600D, and they are very favourable indeed. And the ability to be able to shoot at ISO 6400 means that, you know, you can shoot inside under artificial lighting, and it looks fine. So good. Enough of me drawling on about my new camera. Let's talk about the main subject for this podcast, which is what's happened in 2013. And plans for 2014 that way as well. So let's have a look. So how has my photography gone in 2013? Well, I think what has really helped me last year was the fact that my photography was driven by projects. And that meant that whenever I was a little bit stuck thinking of where can I shoot, what can I do, I always had my projects to fall back on. And I think maybe at times where I might have stayed in and done something else, because I had specific projects in mind, that kind of gave me a kick in the pants to get out and shoot. So, for example, I had projects on Portsmush, Gosport, Southampton and Brighton. Basically places, you know, where I live and where I work and where I go to cover other stores. for machine mutt. So it meant that, you know, even like say at lunchtime at work, because I'm doing a project on Portsmouth, that would force me to jump in the car or go out on foot and take some photographs around where I work. Or if I was going to cover our Southampton store, our Brighton store, if I got there a bit early, instead of just sitting in the car and playing with my phone, I'd get out and take some photographs. So this really, really helped me, you know, with the gospel project. If I've got Oliver and Suzanne were down at the gym for an hour, you know, instead of just watching some YouTube videos or watching a movie, I'd grab my camera, jump in the car and go somewhere and shoot and add photographs to those particular sets that way. So that really helped. And the way that I do it is I take the photographs in a particular location, edit them, upload them to Flickr and add them to the sets, and then if I'm really pleased with the photographs, I then add them to something called Rob Nunn's slideshow on Flickr, which is like a kind of a best of, and that also gives me a pool to choose my best of certain years from as well. But I don't only just have titles for my projects like Portsmouth and Gosport 2013. The other thing I do is I have lists of places to shoot. And if you use Gmail, there's a really good tool that you can use for this as well, which is Google Tasks, which is part of Gmail, and you can have it on your mobile phone as well. And literally, I just have lists of places to go. So I'll have things like, say, for example, in Portsmouth, I might have Copner Road, Hilsey, the area around the motorway, you know, all these little things, so that, you know, when that time comes up when I can actually go out and shoot, instead of having to scratch my head and think, right, where am I going to go, I can get my phone out, fire up my computer if I want to, and I can look and say, right, okay, I've got 45 minutes, where's close to me, right, I've put down, say, take photos around the Mount Batten Centre, right, bang, camera, out on in the car or on foot, go to that location, spend 20 minutes taking some photographs, and then back home or back to work, and then add those photos to the portfolio. And it's almost been, I guess, almost a bit like being a photojournalist, in the fact that you've got this assignment that you've got to go off and do, and you don't really have to justify it, the fact that it's there and you've got to do it. And then if I think of any other locations, maybe I pass them in the car or I read about them, you know, I'll add them to one of those lists, and I've got like this never-ending pool of ideas of places to shoot. So I would heartily recommend that you have a list like this. You don't have to use Google Tasks, you could just use a simple text document or a Word document, you know, and maybe have main titles for your projects, like places or something, and then underneath that write down as many places that you can think of, situations or subjects where you can go out and take photographs. Saying that though, although these projects have driven my photography in 2013, I don't think there's enough quality work within each project to make any type of book or anything from each project. There just isn't enough photographs there. But, you know, I think I've got a lot more good photographs than I thought I did have, now since I've taken the time to go back and review my photographs from the past year. And one of the things I have done is I've gone back and I've looked at all my photographs that I've uploaded to Flickr in 2013, and I've created my 10 best photos as well, and I'll put a link for those on the website. And again, if you don't use Flickr, it's another reason to do it, because it's so easy to organise your photographs and add sets. And simply all you do is you create a new set called, you know, my best of 2013, and I went through and just looked at all the photographs that were there, and just added ones that I thought were good to the set. And I think I started off probably with about 30 photographs, and then I said, no, it's 10, my top 10, and then you've simply got to delete, well, not, well, you don't actually delete them, but take them out of the set, till eventually you end up with a series of photographs that are your best for that year. And I tell you, why don't we, we've got enough time, so why don't we have a look at them anyway. I know this is going to be a little bit odd for a podcast, but if I describe the photographs, maybe that will help. So the earliest photograph that's in this top 10 is one called View Towards Fareham, which I took, funnily enough, in Fareham. View Towards Fareham Council Building, that's it. And I took this at the back of the Fareham shopping centre up towards the kind of mini skyscraper where Farnborough Council is. And I quite like it because it's black and white. It's got some nice curves of the path leading away from the viewpoint of the camera. There's some nice trees around there, and then you've got the focal point, I guess. It's probably the building in the distance, but there's some nice shadows falling across the subject as well. My next photo is one called Burnaby Building in Portsmouth, and I like this because, again, it's another black and white, but it's an architecture shot of a very... the building must be a white, I think, so there's lots of contrast between the white of the building on one side that's in sunlight and the shadow of the other side of the building. And also, there's what I really like about it, there's people wandering around it, there's BMXers wandering around the building, which is really good. Another one of my favourites is telephoto capture of sunset in Leon Solon, and this is probably my most successful photo of 2013. I took this down at Leon Solon, banged the old telephoto lens on. It was a particularly colourful sunset, and I zoomed in on the horizon. I was just lucky the fact that the sun went down behind a tree. And the sun's gone from the photo, but what it did leave was it was almost like a pink halo around the tree, and then the rest of the sky was like this golden yellow colour. And I was very lucky that the photo got picked up by the Flickr blog, and I think the Flickr Facebook page as well. And I think the photo ended up with like something like 14,000 views, you know, which is an awful lot for me. Another favourite photo was of this, it's a black and white shot down at the beach between Leon Solent and Stokes Bay, and it's like this concrete mushroom shaped structure with this viewing tower in the background, and it's an area that's, it's brown down area that's owned by the military, where they do these little exercises. They do lots of amphibious assaults, and I'm not quite sure what this structure's for, but it's quite dramatic in its shape. And in a similar sort of area, actually, another one of my favourites in my top 10 was, it's a concrete building, and there's two rectangular symmetrical windows that are looking out. There's no glass in them, and it's looking out over the beach. And I quite like that photo. And then there's a picture of St Dunstan's Church, which I think was in Poole. And I'm looking up. It's this big red brick church. There's this massive stained glass window. It's a black and white photograph though, and it's all very imposing and structural. And I quite like that one. And there's one that's called Red Petal Against Purple Leaf Macro, one of my flower macros. But this one, it's just about the contrast of red against the blue. And the only thing in the photograph that's in focus is the tip of this petal, which is moist with dew, I guess. It almost looks like a little tongue that's sticking out, but I like that one. And then another flower macro, which is a black and white one, which is a rose macro study, which I really like. And the rose is kind of... The focal point of the rose is the centre, but it's right down in the bottom right hand corner of the photo. That's nice and sharp, and the rest of the photo falls off into softness. My penultimate favourite photo is a photo I took of John's from Works CBR 600, because he was selling it, wanted some nice photos, and it was my first attempt really to take anything like this. And it's a yellow motorbike against a red brick wall, taken during the day, but I used my flash, off-camera flash, with, I think I used an umbrella actually, sort of camera right and above, to darken down the background, but then light up the bike to make it stand out, and I think it looks pretty good. Might have used probably could have used a second flash, but you know, my first real successful attempt at trying to light quite such a big subject. And then finally, a photograph that I took just before the end of the year, which is of a kite surfer, telephoto shot, black and white, and he's just hit a wave, and he's one-handed, and he's going up. So, a nice selection of photos, I think, and a successful year. Nothing really absolutely fantastic, but you know, a nice set of photographs. So, you know, I guess the next question is, what am I going to be doing for 2014? And I think my photography is based around projects, so I've got a list of different things I'm going to be working on. And there's still going to be some base around locations where I work and where I live, because, you know, that's just too good a photo opportunity to miss. You know, the fact that I can go out every lunchtime and take photographs around Portsmouth, I'm not gonna let that go. But I think my sort of extra projects are going to be based around roads this year and locations on or around those roads, because there's some interesting roads around here. So, you know, the first one will be on the A32, which is the main road that leads out of Gosport, up through Fareham and up through Hampshire, and there's lots of little villages and lots of little places. The A27, which runs sort of east to west or west to east across the south coast, which has got lots of different places. The A3, which starts right down on the south of Portsmouth, then winds its way through Portsmouth and then goes up again, ends up in London, the A3. And then there's the A3023, which is in Hayling Island, and the A33, which is in Southampton. Now, in Britain, if you don't know, the roads have numbers, but also then you might have the local road name as well. So, for example, the A3 at some point, you know, its main name on a map is the A3, but it could also be called the London Road as it changes. And motorways are M, so you'd have M27, M3, M1, anything like that. More important roads are A roads, and then little smaller roads are B roads. But I think by having roads as my projects, it will give me an opportunity to do as little or as much as I want to, you know, because a road like the A3, I can hit it locally quite easily, but then, you know, if I want to go further afield, you know, the opportunity is there. Other projects I'm going to be working on is submitting again to the stock sites, iStock Photo and Big Stock Photo, simply because I know that you could argue that they're not great for photography because of the pitiful wages that payments you get, but, you know, it is a way for me to earn some money from my photography, and I like the technical challenge as well of getting photos into there. And I've had, I think, 10 photos on iStock Photo for a good few sort of 3 years, and I think I've only made $12. So it's not really about the money; it's more about the challenge of getting them in. There's a magazine in the UK called Amateur Photography, and they're doing a Photographer of the Year competition that starts in February, and sod it, I'm going to have a go at it this year. I'm going to dive in and use that to drive my full portfolio. And as I said before, although my projects are going to be based around roads, I'm still going to have projects on Gosport, Fareham, night photography, the moon and the stars. I'm going to do some of that this year, definitely. Studio portraits, that's photography, and excuse me, I've got a bit of a tickly cough, and neon lit. So I'm going to go out in the evenings and take photos of various things around Gosport, Fareham and Portsmouth. I'm thinking petrol stations, the night skylight, stuff like that, and let's see if I can take pictures of those sort of things without getting arrested. Personal projects for 2014, it's really about losing weight, to be honest. I've got up to quite a heavy weight. I'm about 16 and a half stone now, which is probably the heaviest I've ever been in my life, and my aim is to get down to something like 14 stone over the next few months, but I've got a plan for that. I'm going to be trying to add a lot more content to YouTube, a couple of videos a week, and getting a lot more involved in Twitter and Google Plus by adding, hopefully, interesting clips to that. I'm going to be making the posts on robnonphoto.com, the articles, the reviews stuff, a lot longer and a lot better. I think I've been quite guilty in the recent past of doing videos for YouTube, which can be quite long, or I say quite long, you know, maybe 10 to 20 minutes. And then on the robnonphoto.com blog, all I really do is just post the video with a short description underneath. And I don't think that's really, excuse me, fair on the blog. You know, I should be putting more effort in, more detailed articles. And I think the Canon 600D versus the 350D noise test was an example of that. So if you go over to robnonphoto.com, you'll see that is a lot more in-depth. There's a lot more example photographs that you can look at. And the article itself stands on its own 2 feet, and the video that I recorded at the to complement it, they complement each other. They both stand by themselves. And obviously with this new camera, a new lens, I'm going to have plenty of opportunity for fresh content on robnonphoto.com and YouTube. Maybe a little bit controversial, I think I've got to try and clear some of my excess camera gear this year. I've got so much stuff in terms of film cameras and maybe even some digital accessories that I just don't use, that's just filling up space, that I should really free up the cash and maybe sell some of it off and invest in something else. Although actually I think my new reward for losing weight will be something like a super wide angle lens, like a Sigma 10-22 or something like that. But let's see how that goes. Okay, so that's it really for me for this month on the SEL Photography Podcast. If you've got ideas for what your projects are going to be, you know, drop me a line, scalespeeder@gmail.com, or make some comments on the blog, or go over to the Flickr group and we'll start a new thread there. Thanks to Everyday Jones for their contribution. They do the intro and outro music. Thanks to everybody for posting the reviews on iTunes and adding the little stars. That's really good. Thanks to everybody for taking part on the Flickr photo group, putting their fantastic photos into the pool and taking part in the photo assignments. Much appreciated. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.